Hey everybody, we are back. It's your hopefully favorite podcast, the It's Invades, the Cycle Singing Podcast. Happy Tuesday, happy May. I'm Robin.
And I'm Lauren Cortizo. And In Phase is a podcast, a community, and a space for women who are passionate about embracing all phases of their bodies, their cycles, and their lives.
She did it perfectly again, y'all. Yep. It's never going to get old for me when you really just nail that intro, dude.
A lot of rehearsal,
a lot of rewrites, fix it in post. Hi, everybody. Good morning or good afternoon. Happy May. It's spring. It's officially spring.
Oh my gosh, we're here. Although, to be honest, in LA, it's felt like we've just like missed spring and just went right into summer.
That always happens here, though. But you know what I will say about April and May in LA is it's my favorite like 6 week period between like those 2 months. I realize that there's more than 6 weeks, but there's like this sweet spot in it where the jasmine is blooming and the jacaranda trees here are in bloom. Jasmine smells so good. It's insane. You're just walking through neighborhoods and you feel like you're like encased in the most like natural perfume bottle. And then jacaranda trees, for those of you who don't know or don't live in LA, or they don't only exist in LA, but there are these trees that bloom bright purple for just like 4 weeks out of the year. So when you look around, the whole like skyline is just like dotted with these bright lilac bursts of color.
So
and it
beautiful.
Is so gorgeous.
And then it's so fun because then the petals fall onto the sidewalk. And it's like someone took like lilac chalk and drew all over the sidewalk.
Wow.
It's so beautiful.
We sound very existential and spiritual today.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Me too.
And here's another important update on that note. We're both wearing hats today.
It's this thing. I swear we don't plan it, but somehow we're so in sync that whenever we're like must have thing on head.
We're hat day.
We're just in sync and we
hat
have to
day.
Do it.
So I do want to talk to you about your hat.
Okay.
Because when you put it on from afar and you walk in the room, I go, oh, Republican.
Oh,
it's a camouflage hat with a bright orange writing on it, or bright orange emblem. And the thing is, like, I have a Harris Walls hat.
Yeah.
That is that
yeah.
for that purpose. It's
yeah.
like reclaiming camo a little
totally.
Bit, which is something that I feel like is happening in a lot of progressive communities.
100%. I feel like this like particular like hunting camo
yes.
is like very trendy
yeah.
right now.
And it's trendy in like Silver Lake. You'll go to Capri Club and see a bunch of people
Everyone's
in camo right now.
It. And what's so funny about this hat is that, okay, I'll say this. So I always thought like the trending, like whatever like trending print, I'm always like cool, but I don't want to like fully dive on board. Usually I feel like a little bit skeptical about it.
Lauren's not really a trendy person.
Trying not. But well, some, yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean that in a compliment. Like you have like yeah. a very cool natural style that doesn't follow trends.
Oh,
like you're always in like a band t-shirt and a track pant
thank you.
Like a really brightly colored sports bra. And I'm like, oh, I meanwhile, I'm like, TikTok, what ballet flats are cool right now?
Well, you always look cool. You always look cool and you always look of the time, which is remarkable. But I will say, so there's a fish taco place that I love and it's called Bear Flag Fish Tacos. And what I've noticed is that most of the like hats that I own, it's them, it's like repping a restaurant or repping like a type of food that I really like.
Oh yeah. If you guys listened a couple weeks ago, she went on and on about
Cafe Tropical. Yep.
And Cafe Tropical and yep. the hat.
Yep. And then honestly, in our cover art for In Phase, I'm wearing a hat for Playita, which is a fish taco place in Silver Lake, which rocks. Such good fish tacos. Best in Silver Lake, if you ask me.
We need to get these places to start sponsoring us.
We really do.
Or
really
at least
do.
Like sponsor like a meal while we're recording the podcast. You
right?
know?
Seriously.
We could start small.
So there's this place called Bear Flag Fish Company. And there's a couple of different locations and such good fish tacos, killer poke.
I'm starving right now, so this is amazing.
And I would say, like, when I first moved to LA, I would, like, drive down to, like, Orange County to go to the beach, and I would always stop at Bear Flag to get fish tacos. And so I've always wanted a Bear Flag hat. I've always been like, I should like get some merch to represent.
And look at you. You accomplished your dream.
Well, what's so funny is that I've been trying to do this for like 13 years.
You've been trying to buy a hat from a fish taco place that you like?
Yes, you heard me right. Because every time I would go, all the hats that they had, I was like, eh, not the vibe. Like, wasn't the right thing. And then more recently, I was thinking about Bear Flag. And I was like, let me go online to see if there's any hats that like are really like hitting hard. And I saw this hat and I was like, you know what? It's trendy, which I kind of dig. It kind of like works for right now.
It's cool. It's a cool hat for sure.
Cool hat. And there's only one left. It was said there was one left.
Kismet.
Do it or die. And so I did.
That's what the website said. Yeah, it said Lauren Cortizzo, do it or die. Order this camo hat that says Bear Flag and orange lettering on it or die.
Or it's over.
And you know what? She said, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. And so I'll say this is a little bit out of my
fashion wheelhouse
zone, but I'm wearing it and we're seeing how it feels. And honestly, I just like knowing that I'm repping a good fish taco. It's like, if I'm going to do one thing on this planet, I'm going to rep a good fish taco.
And honestly, for me, I love that about you.
Thank you.
Absolutely incredible. No Thank notes you. On that, to be honest.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
Tell me about your hat.
I don't want to because...
She said, no.
See, I don't want to at all because this was a hat that I got served on Instagram that I just thought looked comfy and cool. I think it says what, like courthouse pickleball or something?
Yeah, it rocks.
It's the trendiest of all hats. So
it rocks.
This is, and she's repping like a local cool place. I'm like, ooh, I don't even like pickleball. I actually strongly dislike pickleball.
Really?
Yeah, but I do like this hat. I like the structure of these bigger hats because they don't make my head look small. Mm-hmm. And one of my body dysmorphias is that I think I have an abnormally small head.
Wait, really?
Yes. And I get into this argument with Harrison all the time. He's like, you don't have a small head. And I'm like, I do. And I think it looks smaller with hats. So this, if you can't see online, and we may cut this entire thing, but you can't see this if you're listening, but I'm wearing a hat that has like more of like a structured top to it, not just a dad baseball hat. And this makes me feel like I'm giving the optical illusion that my head is bigger than it is.
Wow.
So there's a little peek behind my psychosis of just being a woman and existing in a woman's body.
Well, honestly, it's so real in general to have like some sort of insecurity that no one else knows about.
Yeah, it's like the Mean Girls. It's the Mean Girl scene where she's like, my nail beds suck.
Yes.
She's like, my hairline's so weird.
100%.
Yes.
Because I think you always look great in hats, but always look great without hats.
Thanks so much. See, you don't notice my head size. But you might now notice it now that I take it off. And it might be the only thing you think about, which is my greatest fear.
What's kind of wild, though, Robin, is I've never clocked anyone's head size ever. Simply ever. I've never even thought about the size of someone's head.
Are you serious?
Ever.
Not once?
No.
See, I think Harrison has a really big head.
What? That's so funny.
My brother Joey also has a really small head and he can't wear hats. His head's smaller than mine.
Oh my gosh.
But my dad has a small head, so he gave it to us. But I think Joey actually has a small head, and I just think I have a small head. But Joey Dibovic, you'll never see him in a hat. He will not wear a hat.
No way.
Yeah, so I actually don't even know what a hat looks like on him. And this is my brother and best friend of 33 years.
Wow.
I'll never know.
We'll never know.
I'll never know. So anyway, that's a little bit about me for you guys. Big life update, hat stuff. Other life update. Remember how I told you I was going to Cabo?
Yes, how was it?
It was awful.
No, this was like girls trip. You were getting ready. You got your nails done. What happened?
Okay, so it was meant to be. It wasn't awful, but it was in no way the trip that I had planned, that I had anticipated, and that I needed for my central nervous system. If you remember, it was like when we were both having really tough weeks. But I was like, God save me. And by God, I mean the divine feminine energy that protects us, obviously. Like, I have this trip coming up this weekend. It'll be great. I'm going to reset. I'm just going to go there, lay by the pool with two of my best friends, read, relax, have a margarita or three, and like consume three new books. Get there. The hotel that we chose to stay at, I absolutely hated. Should I say it? It's a Nobu hotel in Los Cabos, and at different strokes for different folks. And we maybe went on a really bad weekend. We also maybe went at a time when the entire hotel was under construction and they failed to mention that to us before we got there.
Oh no.
It also is on the windiest peninsula of Cabo.
Okay.
And everything on the hotel is built outside, including the restaurants, the bars, the pools, obviously. But all the restaurants and the bars, aside from the one Nobu restaurant, which is not open during the day, you don't want to go have like a 6-course sushi dinner in the middle of the day. And the other restaurant was under construction. So there was no place to go or eat inside. We tried to eat outside. Everything was blowing everywhere. We couldn't spend any time outside at the resort because it was so windy, because they had like constructed it with no coverage. So like, that's one of my gripes with the hotel itself. But the bigger gripe that is on the first night there at Nobu, this is supposed to be a 5-star.
This is like Nobu.
It's Nobu.
Yeah.
Food poisoning from the sushi.
Oh my God.
Food poisoning on the first night of just a weekend long trip in Mexico from the sushi. And we know, is me and two of my girlfriends, shout out Kate and Lauren, troopers with me, we know exactly what it was because Kate and I ate the albacore at the table and Lauren did not. And we were in the bathroom. Kate and I were like taking turns in the bathroom like all night.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And you know about food poisoning. You just got it.
It's the worst.
It lingers. Yeah. Even if you're not active yes. in the food poisoning. And you know what I mean by that.
Yeah.
It like you feel awful. So like we're supposed to meet on Mondays, Lauren and Sydney and I for InPhase. We got a standing Monday meeting. And I was like, you guys, my brain, I can't. My brain is dead. My body's dead. So and then food poisoning on the first night. Couldn't use the hotel facilities because half of them were under construction and the other half, it was so windy, you couldn't really go outside.
Yeah.
So here's the plus though. Rewatched a lot of Girls. And okay. you know that is.
Which is a happy place.
Yes, exactly. Yep. So it was like room service and Girls, but I was like, but we didn't need to get on a flight down to Mexico to do that. We could have done that in our house.
Yeah.
But, and then to top it all off, on the first night that I had spent in the bathroom all night, when I finally got to sleep, I was awoken at 4 a.m. and couldn't get back to sleep with the most ravaging cramps of my life. I got my period so intensely in the middle of the first night too. And I just had, I had cramps and bloating and sadness and fatigue for the next days. I tried so hard to turn my attitude around and like really be in it. And my friends and I, we pivoted. We were like, all right, we'll leave the resort. We'll like hire a car and go out. And then the next day we like booked a boat and did that instead.
Right. Yeah.
So we found the ways to make it better, which I think is like, that's always the goal and the hard part of traveling. And like things are going to come up and it is so much of your attitude.
Yeah.
But, oh, I was so sad. I was so sad that this trip that I had, and like, we're also going for like Lauren, who is dealing with like the grief of loss recently. So this trip was for her to just like reset. And suddenly we're all just like, throwing up and cold and shivering. It was
oh my gosh. It's also like nothing worse than being sick when you're not home.
Yes.
Because it's like, at least like when I'm home, it's like, okay, I know what I have in the cupboard. I know if I need to go to CVS to get tea or some sort of supplement or whatever, I know where to go and what to do.
Yep.
And this feeling of like, I only have the clothes that I've packed. Probably not clothes that I want to be in when I'm feeling sick.
No, I brought like bando crop tops and stuff
for my
food poisoning bloat fest.
Right.
And,
oh my gosh.
And then too, it's even like on top of just being sick, then just having your period in a place. And you're also, if you're food poisoning, you're sharing a bathroom with other people. And I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Luckily, we're like sisters. Like we're so close. So like, yeah. I we didn't care, but it was just like, oh God, I really wish that we had en suites at this point.
Yeah,
but
truly.
Then also even like when I'm cramping so bad, like I have things that I do. Like I take an Epsom salt bath with a specific kind of Epsom salt. I have my heating pack for my front, my heating pack for my back. I have specific medicine that I take because obviously, as you guys know, I'm no stranger to this kind of pain. It can be pretty consistent for me, but I didn't have my utility belt and that was on me, you know, I should have prepared. So anyway, my trip to Cabo was not what I expected it to be. And that's okay. We did pivot. I still got some really great quality time with my girlfriends.
Okay.
But I will say it's like comical how kind of bad it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh my gosh.
How was the flight back? Were you still feeling sick on the flight? Like nausea can linger for a bit.
I wasn't feeling sick on the flight, but it was that point where you just have kind of like dull stomach pangs.
Yeah.
I also then like didn't want to eat anything either. So I'm like eating like one airport Pringle for like the whole day. And I'm just like, please God help me.
Ugh.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. But then I like slept the whole way back and then came back and slept for like 12 hours here. So
love that.
That was the best part. Coming back to a clean house and getting into bed and going to bed, I was like, this vacation rocks.
Worth it.
This is great.
Worth it to have that feeling of pulling the covers over in your own bed.
I was like, no one talk to me ever again.
Fair.
But you're dealing with a little Carmen sleep regression these days.
Yeah. Our little sweet Carmen.
Wait, are you throwing a birthday party?
This is what I need to figure out. Maybe. The challenge is that my parents are coming into town and they leave on Sunday morning. So the only day we could do a birthday party would be Friday night, which is like a really inconvenient time to do a birthday party because she goes to bed at 7.
Yeah.
Slash like everyone like works during the day.
How come you couldn't do it on Saturday during the day? You just have plans with them and stuff?
It's like everyone's birthday party on Saturday during the day.
Whose birthday party? Mm-hmm. And who's more important than Carmen? Tell them to take a back seat.
Carmen's best friend Baxter, who's also turning one, he has a birthday party in the morning. And then my best friend Dominique has a birthday party in the afternoon. So it's just like, it's one of those things where and also, let's be honest, we're talking about this like a week before, which just shows you how I'm just not thinking ahead.
I'm not gonna lie though. I love you as a mom in that regard. Because you know how so often I just watched The Valley, which is we talked about Housewives of Rhode Island last week. The Valley is another just like trash reality show that I love. And Lala on The Valley threw her daughter, I think it was a 1-year-old birthday party. That looked like a wedding. It was like floral arches and arrangements, like balloon, like a giant ball pit. They flew in merch and stuff. I was like, this is crazy.
You look a buck wild because that's what it's for the parents.
Yes.
Of course. Like
totally.
Not for the kid's not even going to remember. And maybe there's also part of like the not wanting to like, to basically fall into the trap of everyone else. Perhaps that's part of like my subconscious.
You're bucking against the machine as you always do. Always. You're like, I won't follow the trends. Yes, I will not get the balloon arch. I will not get the balloon arch.
Which is like, there's deeply something wrong with me. So that's why I'm like, I don't know if we actually like do a party. If we do, we might do it a couple weeks after.
Yeah.
Or we might just do one like just for like family on Friday night. But we have a theme.
For those of you who can't see, Lauren's arms went up, okay? She's holding court. All right, what is the theme?
So we talked about this a few weeks ago, that one of the things we do let Carmen watch are Tiny Desk concerts. So I want to do a Tiny Desk themed birthday.
This is the most specific you and Gabe as parents theme I've ever heard in my life. I bet a lot of the people watching this don't even know what Tiny Desk Concert is. If you don't know what it is, Google Tiny Desk Concert and you will understand Lauren's persona a little bit more.
Yep.
As to her and Gabe, her husband, picking this as a theme for their 1-year-old's birthday party.
Yes, yes.
You are hilarious and so cool and so funny. Keep going.
So yeah, Tiny Desk Concert, it's brought to you by NPR. It's when they bring artists into literally the NPR office and there is a desk and they have the artists set up and they do an like unplugged concert. Usually ranges between like 12 minutes. Sometimes it's like 30 minutes. But it's like such a cool way to like see an artist to like do an unplugged performance. And I love it. So like, yeah, Gabe and I, we love it. We're always playing them in the house. And so.
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah.
And this makes me realize I haven't seen a Tiny Desk concert in its entirety, maybe ever, or at least in such a long time. I thought that they were sitting at a tiny desk.
There is a tiny desk.
Oh, there is. Okay. Yeah, I was like, wait, I didn't think it was like a fact that they're in an office. I thought there was a tiny desk.
No, there is. So it's in an office.
Thank God. I was about to be like, wow, I'm so dumb.
No, you're not dumb.
Thank
not
you.
Dumb at all.
Thank you. Thank you.
They're in the office and there is a desk that is tiny and is now overflowing with stuff. And the artist and the band are sitting behind that desk.
Okay.
So
okay.
Part of it is fun too because like I recently rewatched Justin Timberlake had a tiny desk, which was like
it's gonna ruin the tour.
It's gonna the world tour.
The world tour.
And his band is so big, like you can't. There's people being cut off.
Really?
Like you're watching it, and there's someone like half in frame because there's so many people behind the desk.
You know who they should put on Tiny Desk?
Who?
Matchbox 20.
Rob Thomas. You up for it?
Rob Thomas sponsors this podcast.
But anyways, we want to do a Tiny Desk themed birthday party. But part of it is that I want every attendee to do a teeny tiny desk performance for Carmen.
This is the funniest shit I've ever heard.
So everyone has to do a performance. I'm talking like...
And it's just directly to Carmen?
Yes, yeah, so I'm talking like 30 seconds or less.
Am I invited?
100%.
I have to be there.
No, so this is why I'm saying like I need to just like make it a couple weeks out.
Are you going to do a content series about it? Lauren and Gabe also do they're both content creators in their own right. Gabe has his own online persona. He's an actor. He's a comedian. Lauren has her own too, as well as his podcast. They send out the funniest Christmas cards every year that are fully produced, like video, I don't even like skit Christmas cards. I've shown them to like my entire family. Like when I'm home for Christmas, I'm like, guys, the Gibbs Gorchizo Christmas card is in.
It's wild. It's wild.
They're on YouTube, right?
They are on YouTube.
Yes. What are they called? Yeah. So people can go look them up.
I mean, I don't even know if there's a name, but if you just search like our Christmas card.
Yeah.
Like,
search Gabe Gibbs and Lauren Cortizo Christmas card. They're so funny.
They're so goofy.
They are so funny.
But yeah, I feel like it'd be so fun to just like record everyone's teeny tiny desk. And there's not usually a judge, but Carmen will be the judge.
We'll picturing people performing for a 1-year-old like sitting at a high chair like really intensely I have no notes. I've never heard of a better concept, to be honest.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
Yeah, that is hysterical, and it's so much better than just like a pastel balloon arch,
right?
Yeah,
right. It's like, let's do something that also, like, one thing that I love in general is like if I ever like to bring people together like in a party format, I want people to feel silly. Like, yeah. Like doing a silly thing, which is why, like, you came to my basketball
party. I was just, that wasn't, Lauren, it wasn't just a basketball theme birthday party. The theme was basketball and potatoes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. It was Pippin and potatoes because it was my Scottie Pippin year. I turned 23.
So, like, when I get this invite to Lauren's birthday party, which, like, most people have at, like, a bar, a restaurant, their house, it's at a local park. And the theme is Pippin and Potatoes. So show up to play basketball with Lauren. It's like 50, like 30-year-olds playing horse. And she asked that you do something potato themed. So everyone brought potatoes, like whether it was French fry, mashed potatoes. I brought a potato with a birthday candle in it.
It was amazing. And the candle sang.
Yes. And the candle sang.
It was incredible.
Yeah. So when we're talking about weird themes, Pippin and Potatoes for your last birthday, yeah. Which is essentially basketball and potatoes at a local park.
It was so goofy. And we had to, like, get there early to make sure we could also claim the court.
Yeah.
So, like, that was part of it. But there's something about, I would say, like, for my birthday in particular, I want to, like, maintain, like, silliness and joy and just, yep. like, fun. So the idea of, like, let's do something that puts everyone out of their comfort zone is something that I like to enjoy.
I love it.
And so that's part of where this tiny desk theme comes from, too. It's like, everyone has to do something goofy.
Yeah, I think you have to do this, to be honest, now that you've verbalized it. Okay. You've put it out there into the world. You put it out there. For the massive in-phase pod family.
Yeah, and we've workshopped it, and now it's a better idea, so thank you.
Yeah, I got you. I got you. That's how we do this.
I love it. Okay, I'm really excited about this episode.
Oh, this is going to fuck. In the best way.
In the best way.
Yep.
Today we're talking about luteal phase.
Can be an enemy, can be a friend, can be a frenemy. As we've talked about, the phase that everyone, like, should hate the most, I've actually come to love a lot.
Yeah.
Because I understand what's going on in my body so much and why I'm acting so wild or so paranoid. And I can just be like, oh, this isn't me.
Yeah.
Oh, this isn't me. This is actually, I'm not this wild. I'm not this unhinged or unwell. It's just hormones. This is just my luteal phase.
Yeah, we're just in luteal, baby. Ain't no thing.
Yes.
But no, it's so true. It's like, for me, similarly, I would always feel like a different person during this phase.
Mm-hmm.
I would feel like everything in my, still, like everything in my life, I'm like, am I doing anything right? I need to quit my job. I need to move out of the country. It's like I would go through these extreme feelings of like what is happening, like deep, deep spiral.
Yes.
And I remember like the moment where I was like, oh, this happens every month at the same time.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And so just the amount of grace that it allowed me to have for myself was major. But I think in general, it's like, it's almost become a meme online, the sense of what happens when you're in your luteal phase, because it's just normal to want to make drastic decisions.
It is
what our body is doing.
So here's what's going on in this episode. We actually pulled you, the listeners, our friends of the pod. We have sourced a bunch of really wild, hilarious, silly luteal stories from people. What is the craziest, the weirdest, the most what the fuck did I just do choice that you've made in your luteal? And you guys shared them with us. So we're going to go through, we're going to read several of them. We're also going to start a segment on the pod. What do we call it?
We're going to call it Luteal Made Me Do That. And the idea is that.
And that's on branding, baby.
And that's on branding. Because we want to hear people's luteal stories, like, all the time.
They make me laugh so much.
So
when I was reading these, I was laughing out loud. And then we found a bunch of Reddit threads where this is solely devoted to people talking about the most kooky things that they've done in their luteal phase. And I was giggling.
Yes.
It's hilarious.
It really is. And
yes.
Like, it kind of reminds me of like when I was like younger, I would read Cosmo or J14. And there was a section about the most embarrassing stories you've ever had.
Yes.
And I would love to go back to that. And so the idea here too is please just share your luteal stories with us.
Yep.
Whether you want to share it like in voice memo form through our Komi on our Instagram.
Which is the link in our bio.
Yes, you can share it like as a little voice memo, share your story. Or if you want to like just DM us your story, please do. If you're open to letting us share it, we would love to share it. Because I just think it's really fun to also like, one, just giggle at ourselves. But it's also just a reminder of all of us go through wild thoughts and do wild things during this phase. And it's actually normal.
Or drop it in the comments. Please drop it in the comments. What is your most luteal story that made you just question everything?
Yes.
And also, now looking back, the funniest shit.
Yeah.
Like the stuff that I've done, I'm like, oh, I get why that was happening.
Totally.
I would never do that in my right mind in a stable hormonal state. So as we mentioned, the questions that you might commonly ask yourself, have you ever almost quit your job? and then got your period the next day, or convinced yourself your relationship is over when yesterday it was fine and you were thinking about proposing, ordered $300 worth of Taco Bell at 3 a.m. just for fun, you might be in your luteal phase.
Welcome. We've all been here. And boy, is it a time.
Boy, is it a time.
Okay, so let's start by talking about what the luteal phase is.
Yes.
Okay, so the luteal phase, this is what happens post-ovulation. So as we've talked about, there's four different phases. There is menstrual, there is follicular, there is ovulatory, and then there's luteal. So luteal is post-ovulation, right before your period. It's roughly days 15 to 28. And this is when your body thinks that it might be pregnant, so it's preparing for that. So there's a lot of things happening with our hormones. Our progesterone rises, and then it drops if there's no pregnancy.
And it drops sharply. That is important.
Sharply.
Sharply.
And then, as we all know, our estrogen is at the peak during ovulation, so now it's starting to dip lower. And that can also lead to things like your serotonin dropping, which is typically one of the reasons why a lot of people have mood imbalances, irritability,
mood swings, someone in a patriarchal society might call it. We're not going to call it that. So really, like, all your hormonal regulation is at its lowest. Mm-hmm. Lowest progesterone, lowest estrogen, lowest serotonin, and lowest dopamine, too, at this time as well. So what happens? What is the behavior that comes out of this? We all know what it is. But here, just to put some verbiage behind it, heightened sensitivity to stress. Yes. Lower emotional resilience.
Yes, that's such a big one.
Yes. Oh, the easiest things can make me cry.
100%. And it's so hard to pick yourself back up.
Yes.
Yep.
More negative thought bias. This, I live in this space. Everyone hates me when I'm in my luteal phase. Mm. Everyone is talking about me. No one likes me. Everyone's talking about how much they don't like me. And they're also talking about how I'm fat.
No.
Every single one, that's like my thought track. And I'm just like, shows you my body dysmorphia at the same time too.
No, but it's so real. It's like during this phase, especially at work, I'm like, I'm going to get fired. I'm doing everything wrong.
Yes.
Doing everything wrong.
Yes.
Brutal.
One month, I walked by my boss having a one-on-one with another coworker, someone else who is a direct report to him in the lunchroom. And I thought that they were just having lunch and didn't invite me. It was a meeting. I cried.
Oh,
I cried. I was like, well, they're clearly talking about me.
Right.
At the public lunch table where they're just having a work meeting.
Having tacos without me on purpose.
Yes. So that they could talk about me.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. It's so real. It's so real.
But this also, sadly, when we're feeling this way, can show up as increased need for safety and security, which then manifests as picking fights.
Yep.
Overanalyzing, withdrawing. This is a big one for me too. Love to be alone. Mm-hmm. And then seeking control.
Yes.
Yep.
100%. Seeking control is a big one for me, especially during this phase too. I feel like especially during this moment is when I feel like my life is out of control.
Mm.
I always get this feeling of, oh my gosh, nothing is what I want it to be. Or am I doing the right thing? And so that then leads to this wanting to have everything in a particular way.
And you know what? Like, as we read some of these stories, which we're about to do, are just like little snippets of people's weirdest, funniest moments. You'll see that there are themes to what women go through, whether it's like seated in paranoia, it's wanting to leave their lives, it's wanting to withdraw and isolate. You know what I read is really common, which I didn't know, is being really itchy, especially in your armpits. I didn't know that was a thing. So that's a theme. So really, if you're listening to this and you have ever felt like off kilter or off base, and there's something specific and funny and weird outside of just like, oh, I cry more easily at commercials or during songs or reading books. That was one that I got a lot from people. It's like, oh, I've easily cried when I'm watching TV or reading a book or listening to music. Yes, yep. Your heightened sensitivity, you're more emotional. But then there's also the really specific ones like, I want to burn my life down and move to France.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Or for me, it's like, I assume everyone that I pass is talking about me at all times.
Right, totally.
Like that. There are some that are just like fit into theme buckets. So after we read some of these, we'll get into like, what are the top 10 most common feelings within the luteal phase that you might see yourself in?
Yep.
And you might learn about this and be like, you know what? It's not just me.
Yeah.
It's just hormones. It's just the beauty of being a woman, baby.
Yep. You're not alone. And luteal made me do it. Okay. Let's dive into some fun stories that were shared.
Yeah.
With us.
So this was from one of my best friends, Marin, and her husband's name is Steve. And she said, Steve and I got into a little dispute and I was so up to my eyeballs, stressed with life and in the middle of my luteal phase that I booked a trip to Florida with a colleague that I had spoken to legitimately two times before. She had spoken to this woman once. She goes, she was literally a stranger to me. Ended up great though, so no regrets.
Wow, I love that.
Can you booking a flight and a full on trip with someone that you've spoken to twice?
My nightmare.
I remember this. It was a few weeks ago. She sent me a photo at the beach, and she lives in Minnesota with this woman I've never seen before in glasses. And I go, who is that? She was like, my coworker, Carol. We're reading books together. I was like, okay, great vacation. We'll have to talk about this later.
Love Carol. Love Carol. That's so good. So good. Here's another one. While deep in luteal, I was hella delirious and starving at the grocery store. It felt like I was wandering through fog, so all I managed to buy was a comically large meat and cheese platter.
Love it.
I then promptly devoured most of it in my car like a wild animal. This is notable because I have been a vegan for 10 years. That's crazy. It's amazing.
Can you imagine like breaking your vegan streak for a charcuterie board in your car? For a grocery store charcuterie plate in your car?
Oh my gosh. They proceeded to say, I have never craved meat, but for some reason, the PMDD gods made me a goddamn carnivorous beast that day. Maybe not a complete accident, but if I had been of sound mind, I would have never done that.
Dude, I get that.
So real.
I'm not a vegan, but that is hilarious to me. You also have cravings during your luteal phase, so that's something else.
It happens.
Here's one that I identify with. Crying over my cat that died in 2023. It's 2026, by the way. I think about him and miss him often, but crying over it only during luteal. I once cried about the dog that I would one day have, knowing that he would one day die. I didn't have a dog at the time, but I was driving home from work and I was crying, thinking about the fact that one day I was going to get a dog.
And then
one day that dog was going to die.
So real. That's so real.
And you know what? I wouldn't do that during my follicular phase, I feel.
Yeah. Okay. Someone else shared that during this phase, it's always this feeling like I want to remove my skin and or being hyper aware that my body is a sentient meat sack. I'm not sure how else to describe this one. You're either with me or against me. I'm kind of with you, to be honest.
I don't know if I'm with you on that one. The term sentient meat sack really just sends me into a mental spiral that I can't articulate well.
The pros, baby.
Yeah. You love the pros. I catch myself Googling how to tell if I'm going into psychosis. And that's how I know my period is arriving within 36 hours. But I still think I'm going into psychosis because I'm incapable of rational thought during that time.
So real.
Honestly, the Google history during a luteal phase too would be a really funny thing to look into because I have to imagine it's bananas.
Yeah, truly. Yep. Actually, screenshot your Google searches during luteal and send them to us.
Please.
Would love. What's like one of the most luteal things that you've experienced?
One year I tried to reach out to an ex that I hadn't thought about in months and all of a sudden become incredibly melancholy for and over like a 2-day period. And I had broken up with him and put no contact on the relationship for a very good reason. So there was, I shouldn't have been doing this, but here's the thing. I couldn't do it because he was in rehab and he didn't have a phone. So the universe really stepped in and provided a boundary for me there.
Yeah,
but I was with my friend Kate. We were in Paris and I was like, I think I'm going to call him. And she was like, no. And then literally on the flight home, I got my period.
Oh my gosh.
So on a 12-hour international flight, and I had no tampon and I was in coach. So that was tough for everybody involved. Hey. I was Lamaze breathing my way back to LAX.
We do what we got to do.
We do what we got to do. Okay. What's one of your most luteal moments?
I mean, I feel like for me, it's like, I always go through this moment of like, need to quit my job, need to leave the country.
Didn't you say that Gabe at a certain point pulled you aside and he had like started making plans and documents because you do it so often? And then he had to be like, I don't understand. Do we do this or no?
Yeah. He very kindly was like, hey, you keep bringing this up. If you want to do it, we can do it. We can leave the country if we really need to. I just need to know, is that actually the plan so I can start preparing? So yeah, for me, it's always like, I'll have a day where it's like, everything is terrible. Nothing is going right. We have to get out. We have to move. We have to leave. We have to move to Spain and become cheesemakers. It's like the only solution to live a good life, which honestly, I don't feel like there, and that still sounds like the right
plan. I was just going to say, like, that sounds fucking awesome to me.
Yep. But it doesn't, it's like this feeling of like, I can't even convince myself that what we're doing makes sense. Like, we have to do a drastic 180.
And meanwhile, like, the day before or the week before, like, you had, like, gotten a promotion at work, this banger new job, love the house that you just moved into, the relationship is great, you love your community here, and the next week you're like, burn it all down!
Yes. The amount of times I've been like, am I bipolar? Like, truly, like, I've felt that because of how drastically my mood shifts and how drastically my perception of the world switches when I'm luteal.
Well, we talked about it a couple weeks ago about PMDD, which is premenstrual dysphoric disorder, essentially like incredibly intense and emotionally manipulative to yourself, PMS, and about how I know someone who was misdiagnosed as bipolar because the doctor didn't understand what PMDD is. So the fact that you can feel like that destabilized and that big of a jump from happy to unhappy, well to unwell during this phase is so real. It's like, yes, we're making so much fun of like how silly we can be during this, because I think there is something so valuable to creating levity in conversation around this, just so that like if we don't laugh, we'll cry.
100%.
And we probably will cry anyways, but we can at least laugh too.
Yes. Right. Cause it's like, it's going to happen no matter what.
Yes.
So how can we move through life in a way where we're seeing like the joy and the humor versus feeling the deep sadness, which again, sometimes happens, but like, how can we find that?
100%.
I love that. I love hearing people's stories, and I'm excited to dive into this next section too, because we've basically outlined the top 10 feelings that people feel when they're in luteal.
Yes.
And again, like, the whole intention is that no one has to feel alone. Like, this is super, super common.
Yep.
So we'll go through the top 10. So the first one is this feeling of everyone is pulling away from me.
So everyone, or as I like to call it, everyone fucking hates me.
or that.
Everyone's talking about me.
Yep.
And they're talking about the fact that I'm ugly.
Yep. But no, it's like, it's such a real feeling, and it can feel like my partner is feeling weird, like something is off, or my friends don't like me anymore. Like, oh my gosh, I know I've gone through this where it's like, if I see friends hanging out when I'm in this phase and I wasn't invited, I feel like...
Or two coworkers having a very professional meeting that they're allowed to have in the office.
Right. It's like everyone hates me. Without me.
Why?
What the heck? What are you thinking? It can lead into reading into tone. Whether it's like reading into tone when you're having a conversation with someone, or in text especially, like reading into the punctuation, how long it took for someone to write a text.
Yes.
How long it took for someone to respond to a text. Any sort of pauses. It's just like reading into everything. I know for me at work, I'll read into like the slacks I get from my boss. And I'm like, am I in trouble?
It's so true.
Yeah.
So true.
It's the worst.
So what's happening at this, like, why is this happening? Your brain is scanning for disconnection and threat. You have lower serotonin and therefore heightened sensitivity to social cues. And maybe heightened sensitivity to social cues that don't really exist because you're misperceiving them.
100%.
Yes.
Like reading into things.
Yes.
So true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you suddenly feel like you're outside of your own life, which is so... Like that alone, that idea of like you feel outside of your own life, I so resonate with, because it's, for me, it's the reason why I look at my life and go like, what's happening?
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of wild.
It's for me. And it's for me, it's like last week I felt like the main character in my story because I am the main character in my own life. And then when I'm in my luteal phase, I feel like the side character who's looking at all the kids having lunch in the lunchroom.
Yep.
You know, and I'm like, wait a second. I want to have lunch in the lunchroom.
Right. Sign me up.
All right. So the second one of the most common ones, number two in the top 10 list, irritation that comes out of nowhere. I mean, honestly, I feel like this is like the telltale sign that kind of bite your head off at a moment's notice. It can feel like everything your partner does is wrong.
Yep.
We've talked about this before where someone breathes wrong and I'm like, I'm looking around at my house and I go, can I afford this by myself?
100%.
All he's doing is existing.
Right.
Just quite literally existing on the 30th day of my cycle. Yeah.
Doing nothing out of the ordinary. For some reason, it's just like
nope. The
most infuriating thing. And then it also ties into that feeling of control.
Too. Yes.
I always feel like I need a sense of control. So anything that Gabe does that like I'm not in control of, or I think I would be better at doing.
Yep.
Pisses me off.
Entirely. Or when like small things feel entirely disrespectful. Gabe entering the bathroom when you're washing your face.
How dare you?
How dare you exist?
Yep. Yeah. It's like constantly this feeling of why am I so annoyed?
And what's happening there is, again, lower stress tolerance, and your nervous system is more reactive.
Yep, exactly.
So your tolerance for nonsense goes to zero overnight.
100%. 100%. There's no room.
Sorry to our partners. And it's just good. It's good to know when women are going through this. There's the soundbite on TikTok that a lot of women are using with their partners for their luteal phase, where it's, I don't know what movie it's from. It's like, it's an Irish accent. It's like, I don't like you no more. And the response is, you do like me. You liked me yesterday.
Yeah.
And there's, no, I don't like you no more.
Yeah, that's so real.
No, you do.
You do.
No, I don't.
It's not you. It's luteal.
Yep. It's not you. It's luteal.
Yep. Another very common thing that happens is people tend to overthink and mentally spiral.
Shocker.
Ding, 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 ding. So it feels like replaying conversations. It can be creating narratives that may or may not be real. So like we were just talking about, it's like reading into things and like creating some sort of like perception around it that usually is very negative. And then it's also second guessing everything. It's like, wait, what did they mean by that?
Yeah.
What did they mean by that period? What did they mean by that weird
Why no
look?
Exclamation point? Yes. Why?
Exactly. Exactly.
So what's happening? You're having this a negative thought bias that increases and your brain prioritizes problem solving even when there isn't a problem. And like, that's really important. Like, yes, you can jump into action. That also speaks to control, but there's nothing to be actionized right now.
Right, exactly. It's like your brain becomes a full-time detective and you can't turn it off.
That sounds so tiring. It is so tiring.
It really is. It really is.
Here's number four, sudden sadness or heaviness. Girl, we crying out of nowhere.
Weeping.
Weeping, low mood for no clear reason, feeling emotionally fragile. Are you kidding me?
I know,
and
right?
Crying more easily. I think this is like so categorically felt across the board for women. I was talking to my cousins and asked the question about luteal, and their response was like crying reading books, crying watching TV, crying during commercials, crying during music. It's just crying.
100%. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. And the reason why it's happening is, again, because your hormones are dropping. So there's shifts when it comes to serotonin, there's shifts in dopamine. And so you're just going to feel more sad. And
yep.
This is what it is. And again, there's like nothing wrong, but things may just feel heavier and things may feel like they have more weight to them.
And what I always think about at this period too, when I'm going through this and I know there is nothing actually wrong, it's really good to just remind yourself of what is going on.
Yes.
You know, like when you feel this way, it's like, damn, it's okay to feel your feelings and to cry, because I do during luteal phase a lot. And it's good to remind yourself that in 24 to 48 hours or like 4 days, you are going to feel so different and you're going to have a release from this. So it's okay to feel it. And it's also good to remind yourself that it's not real.
It's so great. It's so great. And it's like a perfect transition too, because number five is this feeling of, I don't feel like myself.
Yeah.
And that's a scary feeling to have. And so I love what you said is that reminder of like just being aware that it could happen. Because when you don't feel like yourself, it could resonate in many different ways. It could feel like more insecure. You could be feeling less confident. You might be questioning your identity. Ding, choices, ding, appearance,
ding,
ding, ding. And so it's very scary to feel that way.
Yeah.
And again, just like that awareness that this happens and our hormones can lead to it.
I read a stat today say that like the search for plastic surgery or like or facial reconstruction or Botox or like dermal fillers increases by a certain percentage when women are in their luteal phase.
So real. I so deeply believe that.
Yes, it's totally.
So real. Oh my
gosh. I'm like hyper analyzing my face and I'm like, do I need a nose job? And I've never thought that in my life.
But luteal will do that to you.
That's just luteal, baby.
Yes.
So what's happening there? Your estrogen drop impacts your confidence and your outward energy. So again, oh my God, this is what I said earlier. Like you go from main character energy to even am I?
Yes, exactly.
And that's a really tough shift from 1 week to another, okay?
It's so drastic. You just went from like hitting your PR.
Yes.
And feeling the hottest you ever felt to then feeling like, what's going on in my life?
Yes, exactly. Dude, it's hard to be a woman, okay, guys? So we just want to empathize with you, but it's also beautiful.
It is.
Six. This is you, baby.
The urge to blow things up. To burn it all down.
To leave and never look back.
To leave and never look back. It's so real. Okay, this comes to life in so many different ways. It could lead to picking fights. Right? Wanting to quit your job, wanting to end your relationship, even if you're super happy, wanting to move cities, perhaps countries, perhaps planets, sometimes galaxies. It's like, get me out of what is the norm right now.
I think that the wanting to end relationships is one of the most common ones I hear for women that like freaks them out quite
yes,
a bit.
Yes.
Because it does come out of nowhere and you're like, wait, I was really happy just yesterday.
Yeah.
So wait, why do I suddenly feel this way? And that's where you really have to remind yourself, like, this isn't real.
Right.
Remember when I texted you that one time? I was like, hey, I'm just checking, but like, do you ever want to divorce Gabe in your luteal phase? It was out of nowhere. It's like a Tuesday morning. And I'm holding my phone. And I'm like, please let her say yes. Please let her say yes. Normalize this feeling. And I get a ding. It goes every time. Why?
Every month.
So if you're feeling that way, it's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay.
It's so real. Right. Because, it's so common. But it's just like, it's the hormones, baby.
Yes.
It's the hormones.
I don't like you no more.
We don't like you no more.
Yes, you too.
And part of what's happening, too, is like when our hormones are going through this drop, we have a heightened awareness of discomfort. So we have reduced emotional regulation.
Oof.
And again, this is paired with us thinking like a detective nonstop and paying attention to these tiny
little
things.
Oh, that's so true.
So it's just like it makes sense that all of a sudden the only rational thing to do is completely blow up your life.
Yep. See you.
Yep. Yeah,
we're buying a commune and chickens in Ojai together, and we're leaving our husbands. That was very specific. I've clearly thought about this before. This is like we all know this cravings and comfort seeking during the luteal phase. Want carbs, sugar, cozy food, desire to nest, cancel plans, and stay in. This, I'm not gonna lie to you, I don't feel like is a bad thing.
No, I actually love this.
Yes.
To me, this is the endless pit phase.
100%.
Where I'm like, I could eat 1,000 things and it's never enough, and it rocks.
It does rock. And you know what I will tell you that rocks even more? Your body needs and burns at least 500 more calories per day during this phase because of what it's preparing to do in your menstrual phase. Ostensibly, if you're not pregnant. So go off and eat the thing. Cozy up, order the fries, eat the ramen. Like, this yes. is your excuse to be cozy, to crave, to satiate those cravings, and to nest and turn on The Town, starring Ben Affleck.
Specifically, The Town. Shout out Boston, Massachusetts.
Or perhaps Miracle.
Ooh.
The ice skating phenomenon movie.
Oh my gosh. Russell's finest.
I love him.
It's so good.
Much.
Not tonight, boys.
Not tonight, boys.
Yes.
Not tonight.
Not tonight.
Why'd you want to play college hockey? So anyway, if you can't tell, those are my two comfort watches, The Town and Miracle.
That's so great. Mine is 10 Things I Hate About You and The Sandlot.
Oh, 10 Things I Hate About You. I thought you were saying How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, because
oh,
that's my third
movie.
One.
Yeah, also great. Also great.
Sandlot. Forever.
Forever. So good. But yeah, as you mentioned, we actually need more calories.
Yes.
Because what's happening during this time is our body is preparing for potential pregnancy. So you actually need more energy. So eat the extra food. It's totally cool. Also, you have blood sugar sensitivity, which is probably what leads to those
sugar characteristics and sugar cravings. Okay,
exactly.
So
exactly.
A way to reframe this: your body is asking for support,
mm-hmm.
not sabotage. So, like, eating extra calories isn't going to ruin your life during a couple days of your cycle. It's actually supporting your body and your hormone cycle.
Exactly.
So do it. Okay.
Just do it. Okay. Another common feeling. Impatience / the feeling of I just can't deal with this.
Real. Less bandwidth for people, for work, for noise.
This is okay. Oh my gosh, this is so real. The air fryer. During my luteal phase, the air fryer is the most annoying thing in the freaking world.
Which is funny because the second bullet after work and noise is feeling overwhelmed faster. Yeah, the air fryer.
I'm like, throw this damn thing out the window. How dare you make a humming noise when I'm trying to think?
How dare you?
Get out of here.
Why is this happening with the air fryer? Cognitive load tolerance is lower, and the nervous system is more overly stimulated by the air fryer.
It's real. It's real.
That's so funny.
Everything feels like too much.
All right, so this next one, number 9, this is all me, baby. All me, body image spirals.
Oof,
what it feels like.
There.
Feeling bloated, uncomfortable, more critical of your appearance.
So
again,
real.
I'm Googling the cost of nose jobs. I don't look that up any other point in my life. I'm looking at myself and being like, do I need to lose 50 pounds? I would be in a hospital if I lost 50 pounds. I'm also like texting Harrison, like, do you think I'm ugly? And do you think everyone else thinks that too?
Oh.
And third question, do you think they're all texting about it with each other?
Right.
And he's like, here we go again.
Interludial. No, so, it's so real.
It's so real.
It's so common. Yeah. It's like, and this to me also is one of those things where I felt so much grace knowing that this is like a temporary feeling.
Yep.
Because I so resonate and also have this feeling too of like, oh my gosh, I don't like what I'm seeing in the mirror.
Yes.
And it's interesting because there's a million reasons why this is happening, but part of it is, as we talked about, your confidence is dipping when estrogen drops.
Yep.
So we're just going to be more overly critical of ourselves and how we look and how we feel. But then also, our bodies will retain water during this moment. So our body is retaining water, which usually will lead to more bloating. And then you also have the hormonal shifts, which can also impact bloating in our bodies. So our bodies will physically feel and look different, and it's actually normal.
Yes. And they are heavier. I've noticed that my weight increases during my luteal phase, like 4 to 5 pounds.
Yeah.
Which is a decent amount. That's enough to make your pants feel tighter.
Totally.
And your pants feeling tighter is enough to shake your confidence and rattle you if you don't know what's going on. So like during this phase is when I wear my track pants. It's when I wear like loose skirts or the really baggy jeans. So I'm not putting myself in a situation to second guess and put my body composition as it is right then under a microscope that's only going to make me sad.
So real. No, it's so smart. I don't know if you feel this way. Whenever I get my period, I feel snatched.
Oh, yeah. It's like overnight. I'm like, wait me now.
I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Who's this girl? Who's that gal?
Who's that gal in the mirror?
That's around the corner.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. It's so true, though.
Right?
And I'm like, wait, did I just lose 10 pounds of blood? What is this?
It's wild.
Yes.
It's so wild.
Your bowels also empty when you have your period, too. And I think, like, that really helps.
Yeah.
I'm like, thank God I have been constipated for fucking 14 days.
Adios.
See you.
Adios.
All right.
My gosh.
And number 10, this I really feel. Withdrawal and desire to isolate. Remember when you were trying to guess what phase I was in and what I told you? I was like, every night I've come home from work and gone straight upstairs and shut the door and lit a candle and turned on old episodes of Vanderpump Rules and didn't want to speak to anyone.
So real.
Luteal.
Is that luteal, baby?
Yeah.
No, it's so true. This is the phase where it's like, every plan has to get canceled.
Cancel.
It's like, what was I thinking even attempting to put this on the
calendar? I don't even want friends.
Right? Want to be alone? Don't talk to me. I'm not going to answer texts. Don't call me. I need to be alone.
Less social energy.
Yes. The social battery is just like drained.
And what's happening? Like, this is your natural inward phase of the cycle.
Yeah.
Like, this is, as we talked about, luteal phase is like you going inward. It's autumn. It's fall. It's time to be cozy. Light a fire. Have some soup. Obviously, you're going to want to feel like a little bit more isolated here and a little bit more restful and a little bit solo, and that's okay.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. Like a great reframe for this. It's like, it's not that you're being antisocial or being lazy. It's just time to be introspective.
Yep, exactly.
So, like, if we can embrace that, what a great time to journal.
Yes.
And vision board.
What a great time to journal.
What a great time.
Put all your existential thoughts down on paper and then revisit them in your follicular phase and you'll be like, I get it, that wasn't me. Go on. How to handle it. Again, we're always trying to reframe. So think about this in a way of, this is definitely not the week to make big life decisions. It's the equivalent of Mercury in retrograde, too. If you're 100%. If you're an astro girly or boyy, do not make any big life-changing decisions or choices during this time.
Yep. It's a great, great reminder. It's just like, let me sleep on this for a couple of days and see how I feel.
Yep. When you get your period, you can reassess about whether or not you should get dual citizenship in France, or you should end your marriage, or you should buy the house in Ojai to get the chickens.
Yep, exactly.
But don't put a down payment on anything until you're bleeding, okay? Yeah,
exactly. Right, so it's like delaying your reaction is a great practical tool when it comes to this phase.
Yep.
And there's other great tools too. Another one is just naming it.
So I'm in luteal.
Say, I'm in luteal right now.
Yep.
Like whenever I do that, I all of a sudden feel the sense of peace. I feel a sense of grace. And it just kind of allows me to like step out for a moment and think about, okay, I might be feeling it. I might be feeling this way right now, but this could be temporary.
I also verbalize it to people around me too. I said that to my boss last week, and I'm lucky enough to have a really amazing relationship with my boss. Very progressive. He follows his podcast. His team is all women. But I came out of a meeting with an agency and I was like, I fucking hated that meeting. And he was like, wow, really? And I stopped for a second. I was like, I should mention, I'm at the lowest hormonal point in my cycle, right? And he goes, oh, luteal? And I said, yes, sir.
It's amazing.
I was like, so just to let everyone know, I was like, good to know. Thank you.
I love that so much.
No, it's great. And honestly, I hope that for the future for all women to be able to just like verbalize it at work, because it gives other people grace for you too then.
Yeah.
And knows that maybe like your reaction is not the clearest version of you right now.
Yes, 100%, 100%. And then tied to that too, like another great tool is just reducing stimulation.
Yeah.
Like because we're going to get overwhelmed more frequently, because even like any sounds can start to like piss us off. It's like, how can we put ourselves in situations where the stimulation isn't as intense?
Turn off the air fryer.
Turn off the air
fryer. Turn off the air fryer.
Just use the oven for
please.
Once.
So this means also prioritizing sleep, blood sugar stability, and gentle movement, as we talked about last week on the How to Work Out with Your Cycle episode.
100%. And then another good tip, if there's a tough conversation.
I should listen to this tip more often. I'm like my Scorpio comes out to play all the time. It's like, we need to go deep and we need to go hard now, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, sit down.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
He's like, can we do this next week? That was a good idea.
Yeah. If there's a big talk, just try to push it out. Yeah. The deal. And I'm talking anything, whether it's like a relationship confrontation, or if it's like talking about something hard with a friend.
Yeah.
If it's even like bringing up something with your boss, like if you can shift it, if you have the ability and opportunity to do so, it's probably beneficial.
It's just not the best time to give or receive feedback.
Yes.
Of any kind. So, but again, I realize there's a privilege to being able to schedule some of those. Sometimes if you have your review and it happens to be on day 30 of your cycle, right before you get your period, God bless you. I wish you well.
Yeah.
And you can do it. But just know that the reactivity is at a heightened state. And if it's bad, it's probably not that bad because your social cues aren't on point either.
Exactly. Exactly.
We're just like, girl, it's okay.
It's okay, girl. Don't worry about it.
But let's talk about the upside of luteal too, because as much as there are negatives and silly why me elements to this phase, there's aspects to it that are in no way negative. The first being, obviously, as we talked about, allowing yourself to rest and be cozy and giving yourself grace to just not be the best version of yourself. And sometimes it's really nice to have the freedom to just accept and acknowledge that and not beat yourself up about it.
Yep. And then another good one too is the fact that you are more introspective. This to me, I like really love, because I know when life feels crazy and hectic, which it does often, I feel like I'm just like going with the motions.
Yes.
I feel like I'm just like trying to stay afloat, trying to keep my head above water. And I don't always like stop and pause and actually ask myself like, how am I feeling?
Yep.
And this is a time where it's the perfect time to do so. And so, the idea of like just pausing and trying to assess, how am I feeling in this moment? This is a great time to do that.
Yep.
And it's a really like beautiful excuse to take a moment.
I love that. Also, your protective instinct is higher. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Totally.
I mean, a little bit of like mama lion come out. That's a beautiful aspect of womanhood too. That is definitely not necessarily a bad thing, or just luteal phase either. But you're a little bit more heightened, a little bit more protective, a little bit more mama bear.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Oh, totally. And I think tied to that too is like, you might be better at spotting misalignment.
Yes.
So because we're like looking, like detective mode, looking for the things that are off, there's actually a chance that it's not out of the ordinary, or it's not over exaggerated, and there is something that's often misaligned.
Yep.
And so what's really cool too is that this phase can also help you course correct things that aren't working for you.
Yes.
That's pretty magical.
So again, always a reframe. Overarchingly, luteal is your internal editor, just potentially not your CEO.
I love that.
Don't listen to her all the time.
Yeah,
okay?
Exactly.
She doesn't leave the ship.
So real.
I hope you guys like this one. It was a little bit sillier, but we hope it's still informational. As we mentioned, we are going to continue taking submissions on the wildest luteal moments. Luteal made me do that, if you will. So please send us yours. Drop it in the comments. Send it to us in a DM, or send it to us on Komi, which is a link in our bio.
And then if you have a friend who's spiraling, or a friend who's going through extreme luteal, just send them this podcast. Tell them they're not alone.
Exactly.
Because again, this is like so common, but it can make you feel like you're in a totally different world. And so, yeah. The whole goal is to just remind everyone, we're all going through this. You're not alone. Let's normalize it. And also, let's bring a little light and humor to the things that can sometimes feel really hard.
Because if we don't laugh, we'll cry. And we'll probably cry anyway. So let's laugh alongside it.
Exactly.
Thank you for listening to In Phase again this week. Reminder to please go follow us on TikTok and Instagram at In Phase Pod. Like, subscribe, and share.
And then you can find us also on our personal pages too. You can follow me at Lauren Cortizo.
And I'm at Robin Dibovic.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks for hanging.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to In Phase, the Cycle Syncing Podcast. You can follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at In Phase Pod. Follow host Lauren Cortizo at Lauren Cortizo and Robin Dibovic at Robin Dibovic. Thank you to our producer and social media manager, Sydney Rojas. And be sure to follow, subscribe, and give us a rating wherever you listen to your podcasts.